This is a tape for the archives of the Sisters of St. Joseph. I am Sister Rosalie Cherno, the interviewer, and you are
Sister Marie Colette Middleman.
Today's date is November 2nd, 1990. We are at St. Joseph Convent, Baden, Pennsylvania.
Sister Marie Colette, would you mind talking about your family and your childhood and the kind of upbringing you had and where you lived in your early years?
I do not mind talking about my family in my growing up years, as we were a very large family, 7 children, and a cousin of my father's who made his home with us. So all together we were 10, and we shared everything. My father's was the only income for the household, aside from a small room and board stipend that my father's cousin paid. So we didn't have the luxuries of a weekly or monthly allowance. We were always well fed and well clothed, as my mother was a beautiful seamstress, and I didn't own a bought dress until I was in high school. Spending money wasn't known in our days, and my father's salary had to go far. Our home was a very pretty and large one, ample room for everyone, and Dad kept it well prepared and the grounds around it well groomed. Although Mother and Dad have passed on, that home is still owned and lived in by my younger brother and his family, who treasures it, and I still call it my home. We were a staunch Catholic family living in a very anti-Catholic town, but our neighborhood was a very friendly one, and we got along well with all the children. In fact, I looked forward to going to the annual Shriners Picnic at Kennywood Park with the family who lived near us, as their daughter and I were good friends, and they always took me as a companion for her, and it was a great day as we got a large bag containing 3 tickets for the rides and concessions and candy, Cracker Jack, hats, and toys. My maternal grandparents came from Baden-Baden, Germany, and my paternal grandparents from Alsace-Lorraine. So I come from a long line of German ancestors, although both my father and mother were born and raised in Pittsburgh, PA. And after they were married, they settled in Baden and lived there all the rest of their lives. My oldest brother has compiled a family tree and has made several trips to Germany to locate any of our relatives who may still be living there. And he was very successful in getting information about our long line of German ancestors. My only regret is that I can't speak the language. Mother and Dad spoke it only at Christmas time when they didn't want us children to know what they were planning for us. But that is the only time we heard it. And when we learned what some of the words meant, they couldn't do that anymore, and so we heard no more German. My mother's birthday was a family reunion, almost like Christmas, and no matter where any of us were, we tried to get home for her birthday. That became such a tradition that when my mother passed away, the family wanted to continue the practice of getting together more than just at Christmas. So they made my birthday the family get-together, and we continued to meet and eat. Another great family custom was that my father always played Santa Claus for our neighborhood and us children. He would dress in the cellar, take out our presents in a big sheet, and the cellar door and go around to the front door. When we still believed in Santa, we were petrified because Santa knew everything We did. That was naughty. When we later wised up, it was fun to see the younger ones of the family go through the same routine as we did. And when Santa asked my mother where Dad was, she always said he was at confession. Dad worked as a die maker at the National Electric Products Company in Ambridge. Not much of a position, but a good paying job at that time. He was a fourth degree Knight of Columbus, member of the Holy Name Society, and he belonged to the Eagles. One nice memory of his membership in the Eagles was that each month they held a family night, and all families enjoyed a good night of free food, drinks, and dancing. I can remember as a child dodging the dancers and playing catch with other children right on the dance floor. Mother's work was all right at home, trying to raise her 7 children. She belonged to the Christian Mothers, the CD of A, and the LCBA. I went to Baden Public School the first 4 years of my schooling, and then St. Veronica opened the Catholic school, and I transferred to it in 5th grade and attended there all through high school. These were the years that I don't know how our family managed financially to send me and my sister to St. Veronica's with the added expense of tuition, streetcar fare, packing of lunches. When I reached high school, I got a part-time job working at Woolworths 5 and 10 on Saturdays and paydays. That was a little extra money for me, but with it I kept myself in silk stockings and an occasional movie. But my father did not allow us to go to a movie if we went to confession on Saturday afternoon and were going to communion the next morning. It was during my upper grade school years and high school that I met the Sisters of St. Joseph, and it was no problem for me to decide what order I wanted to join, as I knew no other sisters but the Sisters of St. Joseph. One big highlight of my life was that as I was born on a winter month and they didn't take babies out to the cold country church to be baptized, I was brought to the Sisters' Chapel here in Baden to be baptized. Maybe that's where God got the idea that he wanted me here for life. My first teacher was Sister Dorothy McKeever, whom I loved and greatly admired. Sisters Annunciata, Cyprian, Ambrose, and Mary Magdalene were some of my other teachers, and of them all, I have very fond memories. I liked Sister Mary Magdalene so much, I have her name, as she was Colette McCann before she entered the order. I wanted to go to prep school out of 8th grade, but my father put his foot down on that idea and said, if I still wanted to be a sister when I was finished high school, he would consider it, and even then he gave me a hard time. But after he saw how happy I was, he was the proudest person on earth that his daughter was a sister. Sister Ambrose helped me to get ready to enter, but I was warned by some other sisters not to become discouraged if she didn't welcome me with open arms, as she had a way like that, just to test young girls and see if they were sincere. Mother Bonaventure also helped me in getting the necessary articles that were on the long list of necessities. I can still see myself on Entrance Day. We didn't own a car, so my father asked the neighbor man to take us down, which he gladly did. We lived only about 5 minutes away from the mother house, so it didn't take us long to get here. My parents, myself, and my 2 sisters came with me. I was taken to the novitiate, then dressed in the postulant outfit, and taken back down to my family. They were all very happy, and big tears streamed down my mother's face. Tears of happiness, of course. My family left, and we were taken to the chapel for office. My first impression of that activity was, oh, I'll never be able to chant that Latin as beautifully as it was done that first time I heard it. But as time went on, I learned to chant it almost as beautifully as it had been done the first time. Then came supper, and they served corn on the cob. Since we wore those large black bonnets that came way out past your face, I gave up on trying to get the cob of corn to my mouth. Maybe that is why, to this day, I do not eat corn on the cob. As the days rolled on, there were many chores like taking care of the sisters' dining room, serving in the boys' dining room, and working in the large mangle on laundry days. We didn't know anything about these responsibilities, but we learned fast. I recall very vividly some of the senior sisters who were here when I entered, among whom were Sisters Raymond, Ursula, Mary Grace, St. Paul, Thecla, Stephen, and Mothers Bonaventure and Alphonsus. I remember how helpful Mother Bonaventure was in getting me ready to enter. Sister St. Paul had charge of the boys, and she sure had a lot of drive in her. She was good to everyone, and I can still hear her say to me, "Well, kid, how do you like it here?" I knew nothing about a formation process as such, but we all fell in line early, and at time, the learning process was difficult. But we survived. Our formation was much, much stricter than it is now. But in those days, I think girls entering the religious life were better prepared to take the knocks and bumps, so-called, and didn't cower under them. Knowing only the Sisters of St. Joseph as teachers, I naturally wanted to be a teacher, although I didn't know that they did more, some nursing too, as I had to have my tonsils removed before I entered, and I had them done at St. Joseph's Hospital on the south side of Pittsburgh. I remember the kindness of Sister Clementine when I had that done. Teachers and nurses made up our community at that time. There were no diversified areas of operation as there are now. The day after I got the habit, I was sent to St. Bridget's in Lillard to face a class of 75 second graders. With the little preparation that I had as a teacher, I managed to keep them in their seats and teach them the basics of religion, reading, numbers, and writing. In those days, youngsters weren't so wise as they are now, and they didn't realize that they had a rookie sister as a teacher. But I loved teaching, I loved the little ones, and we got along admirably well. Incidentally, years later, as a teacher at Bishop McCoy High School, I taught the son and daughter of one of the little ones that I had in that first class in Lillard in 1932. Sister Benedict was the superior at that time, and Sister Henrietta was the music teacher. On my first visiting day there, my family came to see me, and Sister Benedict gave them a lovely Sunday dinner. They talked about that nice gesture for many, many years. My favorite mission was St. Canice. Before I was sent there, I dreaded going because it was so large a place. But after I got situated, I changed my mind, and I loved every minute of my 6 years there as principal of St. Canice High School. The people there were super to deal with, and I made many friends, some with whom I still keep in contact. My last year there was the peak year of the six. We had a very good basketball team, and since I was extremely sports-minded, I encouraged them in every way I could. When they won a local game, I put up a sign in the front hall saying, "You brought home the bacon last night." When they went for districts and won, I put up a sign, "You got a whole slab of bacon." When they went for state championship, I put up a big sign the whole length of the stairway, "You brought home bacon by the pounds." You got a whole slab of bacon. Now see if you can get the whole pig tonight. In those days, we weren't permitted to attend sports events. So the men in the Athletic Association wired loudspeakers from our phone to the community room, installed a phone in Erie where the game was being played, and broadcast the whole game to us over the phone. St. Canice won, and the sisters all stayed up to welcome the players home. At about 2:30 a.m., our doorbell rang, and there on a chain, some of the boys had a live pig. They said, "Here, you asked for it." They rented the pig from a nearby slaughterhouse and had to return it the next morning. One of the boys took it home and kept it in his cellar overnight. I don't think the environment in which I work affected my life in any great degree. I had to be aware of the geographic, economic, ethnic, and religious factors that existed where I worked. And I do think they had an impact on my thinking and reacting to them. I received a great education from my community, but it was gotten the hard and long way, on Saturdays and during the summers. Saturday classes were hard, as you had no time to study for them until Friday night, when you were so tired you couldn't remember what you studied. The community sent everyone to school at a great expense, because at that time we were not flushed from a financial standpoint, and I think the community made a valiant effort to educate all of us. The community has greatly developed in the areas of ministry, celebrations, and leisure. Our prayer life has greatly changed, and so has community life. I don't know if this change can be called a development or not. I do think that national, church, and world events have redirected the community vision.
Cleta, your early history and your early work in the congregation seem to me to have very special quality of being alive. You had a very alive childhood. Your family was certainly in tune with every member. It seems like it anyway, from the celebrations you talk about. Now, I'd like to skip over all that and thank you for giving it to us. And I want to ask you now, what is your thinking about the community right at this time? How do you feel about community right now, where you are here in Bay?
Well, I feel that we have a very close community. I feel that we have a very concerned, loving-hearted group, and I also feel that as each day passes, I sense that in a greater degree.
What are some of the changes that you've noted that divide this time of your life from what has preceded? What would you say would be the biggest changes in our community life?
I think the diversity of occupation. I find it hard sometimes to converse at the table because you have five or six people who are doing five or six different things. And it's hard to have a continuous conversation because you have to include everybody, and sometimes you can't because they're not interested in it. Well, at least they might be interested, but they are more interested in what they themselves are doing than what the person who's talking at the table.
Besides the diversity of works, do you note any really big difference in the way we live?
Oh, yes. Yes. Our prayer life is greatly changed. It's changed, but it's still a very a close one because of the different groups that are in existence here at the Mother House. We have our own little programs and schedules for prayer, which are very nice, very close, very loving, and it's greatly changed because in my early life I was used to that daily schedule of prayers, morning, noon, and evening office, and that has made a great difference.
Did you ever anticipate that there would be a great many sisters living alone?
No, no, that was one big, big change.
But as Do you have any feelings about that, people living alone?
I wonder how they can do it, because I couldn't live alone. I have to have people around me. I have to have more and more people. They have people around them in their working situation, but I think their evenings are very, very lonely. If they have evenings to themselves, maybe their schedule is such that they don't have evenings to themselves, but I still think I couldn't do it. I couldn't live alone.
Can you anticipate what the future of religious life will be? Is there anything that has happened so far? Are there any kind of signs along the way that indicate directions that religious community life will take, not only for the Sisters of St. Joseph, but religious life generally?
Yes, I was startled by the statement that was made at one of our meetings, that religious life in the future, religious communities in the future, will be smaller, lesser, and poorer.
What do you think that we as Sisters of St. Joseph might be engaged in the future? We have such a diversity now, but can you think of areas in which it would be almost necessary for us to place ourselves? Is there any particular area that you can kind of think of now that might need the attention of?
Well, right now, the attention of some of our sisters is in prisons, the extremely poor, which are two areas that need special attention by someone. And I think our sisters are seeing that and are turning to those areas to give the help that they can.
Do you feel that you're part of their effort to be concerned about the poor and to be concerned about the injustices, even of our legal system? Do you feel that you can tap into that even though you might not be on site?
Oh, I can, yes, definitely. Yes. Our poor need more than they're getting. And prisons are overcrowded, and those people do not get the attention that they should get. I feel, too, that our Catholic schools are on the wane. And I feel that the sisters who are in that area will turn their attention elsewhere.
Does that make you sad?
In a way, yes. Yes, it does, because after all, when you spend as many years in that area as I have, and then to see it is so, as it were, go down the drain, it does make you sad.
You know, originally, the Catholic schools were built to preserve the faith. And now that there are so many opportunities for Catholics and other denominations to enrich whatever faith they have, does that make you feel better about the demise of so many Catholic schools?
Oh, yes, yes. The ecumenical movement, which started some time ago, and I think it is stronger than it ever was. I also feel that the bigotry that used to exist with regard to the different religions has passed on. I don't think that exists at all anymore. And I also think that the way that the other religions and ours too are coming together to help the situations that exist, that need help, like the poor and the destitute and the lonely and the elderly. I think all of them are coming together to help in any way they can.
Now, there's only one other question I'd like to ask you, and that is, if you were to choose one experience in your religious life, one experience that we could call peak experience, what would you say that was? You probably have to think about that a little bit.
Yes, I don't know what the peak experience would be. Unless I would say my reaching my 50th anniversary in the community. That was the peak experience of my life, because the community showed me that they appreciated the years that I had spent with them. My family showed me the same thing, and my parish church showed me the same thing.
Thank you, Colette. I really appreciate your taking the time to do this tape, and I'm sure it'll have greater value as the years go on. Sometimes when we reach the point where we are, we get to feel that we are devalued sometimes. But I don't really believe that.
No.
And I want to thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.